This is a podcast from the Canadian Youth Delegation to the UN Climate Change Negotiations. The issues regarding the form of a future international climate change agreement that have received so much focus here in Cancun were beautifully contrasted today by Canadians at the conference. With the UN climate talks here in Cancun set to wrap up on Friday, political representatives and civil society organizations came together this morning to call on the federal government to support a second phase of the Kyoto Protocol. Labour, First Nations, environmental, youth, development, and faith groups called on the Government of Canada to back away from its current position on Kyoto, which threatens to derail the Cancun talks. Graham Saul, Executive Director, Climate Action Network Canada.
An overwhelming majority of Canadians want action on climate change. A majority of provinces want action on climate change. And a majority of the democratically elected members of Parliament want action on climate change.
Linda Duncan, environment critic, New Democratic Party.
What we need is nations at the table, such as Canada, who are one of the major emitters, to step up to the plate and provide that commitment.
Gerard Kennedy, environment critic, Liberal Party MP.
It includes support for Kyoto and for the process. It includes an independent role for Canada, not waiting or making excuses based on any other country.
Karen Hawley, national representative for the NUPGE.
I would like the Canadian government to listen to hundreds of thousands of workers across Canada and stay with the Kyoto Protocol. Show some leadership here, which hasn't been done in the last several COPs.
Maggie Knight, member of the Canadian Youth Delegation.
The claim from Canada's negotiators that a target of 17% below 2005 levels is ambitious, is offensive and alarming to youth. Our support and desire for more constructive participation and greater action from our country is not represented by our government. Indeed, by standing in the way of progress towards a legally binding deal and turning its back on Kyoto, the Canadian government is threatening work that has been going on for most of our lives. Abandoning Kyoto could completely derail the negotiating process. Keeping Kyoto doesn't mean developing countries and the USA won't take action, but it does ensure that negotiations can move forward.
Elizabeth May, leader, Federal Green Party of Canada.
It's more than targets, it's rules, it's architecture, it's a whole governance structure. It's more than a decade of negotiation that we cannot afford to lose. We don't have time to rebuild Kyoto.
Stephen Guilbeault, Deputy Director, Équiterre.
Canada was once renowned for its capacity to bring together different positions and help create bridges between diverging and opposing views. Here in Cancun, I can only witness the destructive role that Canada is playing by opposing the continuation of the Kyoto Protocol.
I'm here with Ariel, a member of the Canadian Youth Delegation, who's going to take some time to share her thoughts about the multicultural perspective of why the Kyoto Protocol is so important for so many people around the world. Salut, Ariel.
Salut, Erika. So, although some of us may be fortunate enough to reside in the Canadian lands, we cannot forget the families and friends that we left behind us. It is our duty to work in solidarity to bring justice and to save the rest of our nation in our homelands and everywhere else in the world. So, Kyoto Protocol is not only a legally binding treaty that will speak for the voices that cannot be heard from 1,000 miles away, it is the only space that will bring a fair solution to the non-developed countries. We are short on time. We've lost far too many brothers and sisters to wait for another treaty. Today, I inquire that the developed countries stop procrastinating and stop trying to find a way out of the second commitment to Kyoto Protocol in loving memory of everyone that we've lost to climate change impacts and everyone that's on the streets and dying of hunger.
Thanks so much, Ariel.
Thank you, Erica.
The united stance of all these diverse groups, including all opposition parties, highlighted here, stands in stark contrast with the speech Environment Minister John Baird made at the high-level plenary later today.
We can make progress implementing the Copenhagen Accord as the basis of a new post-2012 international climate change agreement. The Copenhagen Accord was a breakthrough in the international climate change dialogue, laying the foundation for a post-2012 international climate change agreement. Canada will work continuously to constructively implement the Copenhagen Accord as the basis of a comprehensive, legally binding post-2012 agreement.
The Copenhagen Accord was negotiated outside the UN process. The emission reduction commitments appended to the Copenhagen Accord are not legally binding and fall 9 gigatons short of what is thought to be necessary to keep global warming below 2 degrees, the stated goal of the accord, but which is a temperature that would still have devastating effects on people and ecosystems around the world. The message the Canadian government is sending here seems out of touch with what the majority of Canadians want. And by focusing exclusively on the Copenhagen Accord and not even mentioning the Kyoto Protocol in his speech, Minister Baird further entrenched Canada's regressive role that has slowed negotiations here. Erica, I see that you're wearing a very elaborate bird costume. You've got this giant paper mache bird head on your head. You've got wings made of giant pieces of cloth for feathers. What's going on?
Well, it's true. It is quite the elaborate costume. But it comes from a really cool place. Before we came to Cancun, a couple of us got together and decided we wanted to do a lot of outreach in high schools. And so we facilitated workshops in high schools and middle schools and even elementary schools. And we asked young Canadians to imagine the kind of Canada they want to be living in 20 years and to use pictures and words to represent that kind of Canada. And so these beautiful feathers are their dreams for Canada, and that includes windmills, that includes messages about the tar sands, we've got solar panels, rooftop gardens, light rail, we have a lot of people standing on planets holding hands. So the general idea is this spirit of cooperation and hope that we wanted to bring with us to the negotiations.
What's the role for that kind of message here?
I think my personal experience has been that there's been a lot of discouragement and disillusionment around the direction that these negotiations have been taken, and a lot of defeatism. So I've been hearing a lot about what we can't possibly do. And these kinds of messages are super important because they remind people of everything that we can do. And they also bring the voice of young people who can't be at these negotiations and who are going to be inheriting both the consequences and the responsibility for taking action.
Hear more at CanadianYouthDelegation.wordpress.com, citizenshift.org, rabble.ca, or on iTunes.